Jason Waller here, True Underdog Podcast and YouTube channel. Listen, make sure you subscribe today. You can go to iHeartRadio, Spotify, Apple Podcasts. You can go to our YouTube channel, True Underdog, or you can visit trueunderdog.com and subscribe to all of it.
Damn, 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 True Underdog. Damn, damn, unleash damn, the power within. Damn, damn,
Jason Waller here, True Underdog Podcast. What's up, underdogs? Today, we are talking to Jay Samet, serial disruptor, international best-selling author, advisor to Fortune 500 firms. He's worked in senior management roles at EMI, Sony, and Universal. Jay is notorious for transforming industries and being a pioneer in the development of technology, social media, e-commerce, and the internet. Jay's also a best-selling author of Disrupt You, Master Personal Transformation. Yep, there it is. There's that book right there. And Seize Opportunity and Thrive in the Era of Endless Innovation. His new book, Future Proofing You, 12 Truths for Creating Opportunity, Maximizing Wealth, and Controlling Your Destiny in an Uncertain World, comes out March 3rd, 2021. Make sure you get a copy. Today, we're going to dive into the science behind future proofing you through pinpointing the best way to generate success in an ever-changing world. I cannot wait for you guys to hear Jay's advice for creating a business that stands the test of time. Jay, how are you doing today?
Fantastic. Thanks for having me on the show.
Decent intro, right? I got some energy. I'm bringing my A game.
Love it.
Good, good. Well, thanks for being on the show. I'm excited because this is an entrepreneur. I've got Apple Top 5 Entrepreneur 2 months in a row. Those are our listeners. Those are the folks watching this on YouTube and listening to it. It is the people that are starting their businesses and struggling. Their back hits the wall. You've got books that really show them a step-by-step way of actually achieving success and doing that. But I want to talk first about your childhood, if that's okay. How did your childhood set you on a path of success as an adult?
I grew up, my dad was a public school teacher. I didn't know anything about what a millionaire would be, let alone if you would have told me I'd grow up and dozens of friends became self-made billionaires, I would have asked you what you were smoking. Had no concept. First concept I had that really made me think about wanting to pursue something was I got to visit Hearst Castle as a little kid. And you don't understand big mansions, you don't understand antiques, but any guy that can have polar bears and zebras, that's living. So that started me thinking about it. I got out of college. I thought that there was this promise made to you that if you got good grades, you live happily ever after. And I got out during a recession. There were no jobs. And I was a young father, and I wanted my kids to have a better life. So my motivation was them. So being an entrepreneur is not easy. But if you think you can or you think you can't, you're right. So why not make the choice for positive? And like of the 12 truths in the book, the first one's about having a growth mindset. So if you put yourself in that mindset, if you wake up every day with the energy you have, Jason, I start off each morning saying two things. Today can be better than yesterday, and I have the power to make it so. And as corny as that may seem to some people listening, what that does biologically, and I wrote about in Disrupt You, is it lights up your synaptic nerves. It releases positive endorphins, gives you the same effect that people that are on drugs. So you're now open to opportunity. We all work with that person at the office that comes in like there's a cloud over them every day. Oh, traffic. Oh, life sucks. Well, there were two guys in traffic in Tel Aviv one day, and it dawned on them, the phone company knows where my phone is. So if they tell me to go left and you to go right, there's no more traffic. That was Waze. They sold it their first year for $1 billion with zero revenue. It's really that easy. So if I had to sum that up, there's only two things you need. Insight and perseverance. And I can teach you how to get insight.
The things you tell yourself again are, today's going to be better than yesterday.
Yep.
And
I have the power to make it so.
You have the power to make it so. I love that. I think that that's fantastic because I personally sometimes, you know, hit blockades and I have to tell myself, all right, I set small goals. What's today's goal? What's this week's goal? What's a 30-day goal, 60-day goal, 90-day goal?
Do you write them down?
I do write them down, but I try
not
to get past
that. Most
important
thing you can do. Here's a trick. Write them down the night before, because whatever unresolved things that keep you up at night and you get a lousy night's sleep, you're not going to function your best, okay? Pretend you're an Olympic athlete. Do you want to go off the high dive if you didn't sleep? I don't think so. But if you get them down, then they're out of your mind and on paper. And then it's the first thing you look at in the morning, those five things, and just boom, boom, boom. Not 10 things, not 20 things. You'll never get to it. And that alone starts you on that journey. The other thing is, if you're an entrepreneur, and I, folks, it's fun to see me like an old guy, but in my mind, I'm still that kid 21 starting my first company, okay? I've gotten older, but I haven't matured. You're going to hit a lot of no. And when someone tells you no, here's what to think of. They're not saying, no, you can't do it. They're saying, no, you can't do it with them. It's their loss, okay? You're going to find a lot of haters, but in my entire life, I have yet to meet a hater that's doing better than I am. I've been partnered with Steven Spielberg and Bill Gates and Steve Jobs and all these names that are now household names. But I knew these people before they made the first million. They're no different, no smarter. They didn't go to the right schools. So why is it that there is a country as rich as ours where the poorest half of America, 140 million people, are at the poverty line? They own less than 1% of everything. And yet, every 48 hours, there's a self-made billionaire. That's with a B. What did you do in the past 2 days? Well, you're a slacker, Jason. You didn't make your billion. Now, what it really comes down to is there are no gatekeepers to success. There's nobody stopping you. You are one click away on your phone from 7 billion customers. You only have to be right for a nanosecond to make money or change the world. And so I've taken upon myself to try to teach what I've learned and what I've watched happen around me. I teach it at the largest engineering university in the U.S. My first semester, two students did $150 million. And then this past year, the pandemic really finally got through to everybody that every single career will be disrupted. I don't have to preach that anymore. I proved it. And the majority of Americans don't have $1,000 for an emergency. So we saw what happened when the world shut down. But if you're future-proof, it doesn't stop you. So how can I teach you? So I took a young man who grew up on welfare and was homeless, and I mentored him one day a week. I gave him no capital. I didn't introduce him to any of my contacts, and I didn't tell him what business to start. And he went from a homeless to self-made millionaire in 11 months. And so future-proofing you just lays out the steps by steps that anyone can do. I'm not saying it's easy. I'm not saying he was willing to work harder than most people will in order to live the rest of his life in a manner most people can't. I think it's fair trade.
No, I love that. And that's a great story. I'd like to highlight your success in the business world. You're able to take on a senior management role at EMI, Sony, and Universal. Then you became the advisor to multiple Fortune 500 companies. All of this leading to your title as an infamous disruptor in the business world. Walk us through the timeline and show us how you obtained these accomplishments.
So no one ever woke up in the corporate C-suite and said, we're having our best year ever. Let's call Jay Samet. I would like that just once in my life. But I made a reputation as somebody that went and did what others wouldn't do. Here's my little secret for every entrepreneur listening. I hate competition. I mean, I really, really hate competition. Not in the competitive sense, in the truthful sense. There's always going to be somebody richer, somebody better looking, somebody smarter, somebody better connected. There's always going to be. But if you do something no one else is doing, by definition, you're the best in the world. Now you have no competition. All you have to do is then hold on to that turf for as long as you can. And so what's happening is we're living in an era of ever-changing innovation. So there's always something new to jump onto. I got on the internet in 1978. I was making video games in the 1980s. I put the first video on a computer. When the music industry, remember Napster? When the music industry crushed that industry from 40 billion to 20 billion, suddenly I was brought in to run the largest music company in the world. Not because they loved me, but because they didn't see a future. And when you do that after industry, and I've worked in with fast food companies and governments and policy, they all follow the same pattern. Here's the simple mistake most entrepreneurs make before they start. They think an entrepreneur is somebody that sells something, that you make money. This is how you were taught in school. Jason, if you buy an apple for $1 and you sell it to me for $2, that's how you make money. That's called, in game theory, zero-sum game. The only way you make money is to take it from me, okay? Now you have this attitude of scarcity. Everybody's fighting for the same money. If he gets it, I don't get it. immigrants taking my job, computers taking my job, robots taking my job, the whole world's after me. Now let me give you a different way to look at it. I'm going to start a company, Jason, and I'm going to sell you 10% for $10,000. Now what am I worth? I'm worth $100,000 plus the $10,000 in the business, so I'm now worth $90,000. That $90,000 didn't come from somebody else. It didn't come from the Federal Reserve. I can sell it. I can use it. I can buy things with it. This is how Jeff Bezos lost money for 10 years straight and came out the other side as the richest man in the world. So people have to understand there's two ways you can make money. You can scrimp and save. Warren Buffett, great investor, made 99% of his money after he was 50. Or you can be like Kylie Jenner and become a billionaire at 22. Your choice. It's nice to have a lot of money when you're 80, I'm sure. But it would be a lot more fun to be able to take care of your family, friends, and things that you care about. The second mistake people make is they think it's about selling something. It's about solving something. If you solve a problem for five people, you have friends. If you solve for a million people, you make a lot of money. And if you solve for a billion, you get to change the world. There are so many problems that are unsolved. And you don't have to start with world hunger. You don't have to start with any. I'll teach a trick that's in Disrupt You that I had Vin do and I ask everybody to do. I can guarantee you in 30 days from now, you'll have more deal flow, and I'm not selling anything, than any venture capital firm. Here's what all you have to do. Today, Jason, write down three problems in your life and do that every day for a month. First couple days, it's easy. But after a day or two, you go, I don't have any more problems. So you really have to start thinking through the minutia, because to get through our life, we've accepted the world the way it is and we don't think through things. So a friend of mine, a reader, was taking his pills one morning. Phone rings, takes a phone call, hangs up the phone, and he's looking at his bottle of medicine. Did he take that pill? Well, if he did and takes too much, it can overdose. And if he didn't, he doesn't get better. It was, ooh, that's a problem. So he took a little Happy Meal watch, put it on the lid, so when you close your pill bottle, it says zero, or it says, oh, it was opened 8 hours ago. Turned that into a product, sold in thousands of pharmacies. Then he put Bluetooth on it so you could know whether grandma took her pills, or doctors could make sure you don't take your opiate too often. All off of that one little problem. And there's endless stories of this. Men, women, regular people. In Future Proofing You, there's a mom, and for the moms out there or dads, you've all been through this. Your kid waits till the night before some project's due in school. They got the big poster board and they go to write it out and they write crooked and looks horrible and they're crying and it's 10 o'clock at night. So you run out to the store and get them some more poster board. Well, this mom didn't want to do it again and again. So she made little fine lines across it so the kid would have ruling. And in the morning, she talked to her sister-in-law. She said, you know, why doesn't somebody sell this? They went, got a patent, went to a company, and they're making like $8 million a year. They didn't even have to build the business.
That's great. See, that's exciting, because you mentioned it before we got started, that's what this country's built on, entrepreneurs and finding ideas and being innovative and being ahead of the curve. And you mentioned about the trends and how, you know, what are the qualities that promising trends have? And you just mentioned a lot of that there. Let's talk business. Anyone that you believe that anyone can be a millionaire, you know, you mentioned it in your upcoming book, Future Proofing You, 12 Truths for Creating Opportunity, Maximizing Wealth and Controlling Your Destiny in an Uncertain World. Can you dive into this theory, how my listeners can make this happen?
Sure. So what I tried to figure out is there's the people that raised you, your parents, your teachers, for the most part, at some point gave up on their dreams, and they're trying to shield you from the pain of failing. And so you have this voice in your head that you can't do this, you can't do that, when in fact, you can. So first you have to, you know, everybody thinks of changing the world, nobody thinks of changing themselves. So first you have to get past that mindset. So in Future Proofing You, I really try to say, what were the steps that you have to get through in your mind? And I'll give you a big one that nobody talks about in the way that I think about it, fear. I've heard more motivational hucksters talk about get over fear, forget fear. They're full of it. We have in the center of our brain what's known as the lizard brain. That's our most basic instincts. We are fearful. The only reason you're here is for the past 1,000 generations, from your caveman ancestor, Ugg, when he saw a saber-toothed tiger and he ran, he was there to have another kid and another generation because he was afraid. And people got away from rotting pirates and everything. So you're not going to overcome fear. So people are afraid to give up their job. What if they fail? What if I told you you're focusing on the wrong fear? You hate your job. It pays you just enough not to quit, but not enough to care, okay? So you traded a day for it. Then one day that turns into 5 years. Then one day it turns into your whole life. So you gave up the only thing you have that's precious, life on this planet, for what? You wasted it. So go to grandparents, go to an old age home and ask people their biggest regrets in life. And not one of them will say it's something that they failed at. It'll be something they failed to do. If I had only joined the band, if I had only done this. So now that's half a fear. Now you're going to focus on the bigger fear. You think you have a secure job? Not true. The vast majority of Fortune 500 companies went away. They've disappeared. Half of all jobs disappear this decade. I'm the chairman of a robotics company. I can tell you how many more jobs are going away. But here's the tip for growing your business. Everybody you ever meet also has fears. And there's three major fears that drive decision-making in business. And if you can learn how to use them in your favor, you win. I'll give you a real fun story. It's hard to imagine, but 8 years ago, no presidential campaign used social media for advertising. Nobody. It was all television. And I wrote a white paper that social media would change the presidential landscape and everything. Not a lot of people other than academics read it. And I'm looking at it. At that time, I was CEO of a digital ad agency. And we sold it to Fox for $200 million a few years ago. But I wanted to get a piece of that $1 billion. I wanted those candidates were going to spend all this money. And I know I'm right. At that point, this was the era of Farmville. I was reaching 600 million unique people a day, virtually 80% of all registered voters, and no campaign. So how do I use fear? So I call up the campaign managers of the various candidates, and I explain what I do. But I told them I could only meet them on this certain day because I'm in Boston on this day. I'm in Texas on this day, all the places where Mitt Romney and Obama and everybody that's running McCain. So they knew I was meeting with their competition, number one. Now their fear is up. Number two, if the competition hires me and they don't, and social media turns out to be important, they'll never get to run another campaign. So not one of these old farts had any idea of what I was talking about, but every single one of them spent money with us. And now, that's how all campaigns are run. But it was by leveraging the fear in the sale, not mafia-style fear, fear of losing your job, fear of being embarrassed, fear of missing out. These are the things in a giant corporate world, in a world where we constantly have mergers and half of the employees are going to lose their jobs, the mentality is duck and cover. So if they're not, you could walk in with the greatest idea in the world. Oh my God, this sale is so important to my company. You've researched everything about Coca-Cola. You know everything. You're gone into this big meeting. This is the meeting for your life. But across the table, you know what this is? The only thing stopping that guy from going to lunch. He's thinking about lunch. So unless you can get the fear going in him, he's not going to pay attention. Reasoning, much lower on our biological chart. So there's just one example, one of the 12 truths, that if you start framing how you see opportunity and how you act on it, and by the way, that skill set works for getting investors, getting employees, it's universal.
I think it's key for the listeners to focus in on, you're basically saying fear of regret is way worse than fear of failure. You know, at least when you fail, you can learn something or you get better at something.
Exactly.
But if you're scared, I mean, when you said you go to a retirement home and you ask them and they're like, it's something that they didn't attempt to do, that's the regret. That is a lifelong painful fear rather than I did something and it hurt once and I got better or stronger from it, right?
And here's back to that growth mindset, the number one thing that you have to start with. A lot of people go, well, if I try it and I fail, I'm a loser. I've embarrassed myself, back to that, you know, humiliation, all that. You either earn or you learn. You don't go back to the same. So if it works, you make a lot of money. Think of how you play a video game. You don't sit down and make it all the way to the last level and go, hurrah. You try and you die, you try and you die, you try and you die. Being an entrepreneur is no different. Most VCs would rather give money to an entrepreneur whose prior business failed because he learned those lessons on somebody else's dime. So each time you're learning more ways to get further along. Most of your most successful businesses that you use were actually failures at one point that pivoted. I'll give you one of my favorite examples from friends in the book. Before you could swipe with your phone, there was online dating. And in the early days, when it was dial-up, it was just a still picture and you read about the person and people still hooked up, okay? But when broadband came out and you could have video, three guys sat down and said, we've got it. We're going to have a dating site with videos. It was called TuneIn Hookup. And they were brilliant engineers. They wrote it perfectly. They were going to make money hand over fist. It was going to rain gold. They built the site, and guess what? Nobody wanted to date these losers. But here's the, and the first video, picture this, is a guy at the zoo standing in front of the elephant cage talking about why you should go out with them, okay? How sexy is that? But they did something that every business has to do today. They looked at the data. And they saw something that wasn't in their plan. People didn't want to date these losers, but they sure wanted to show their friends their videos. So they changed the name of TuneIn Hookup to YouTube and became billionaires their first year with no revenue.
Wow. That's a great story. I didn't know that. So they
Twitter
went for a
dating Twitter was a music company. Bill Gates and Paul Allen's first company, belly up. Walt Disney's first company, belly up. Henry Ford's first company. See, when you watch the news and you watch a sports segment, they only show you those perfect highlights. In social media, nobody shows you their lonely struggles. They show you, ooh, look at me in my jet. So we get this vision that somehow it wasn't hard for everybody else. It's hard, but it's not impossible. So the difference between failing and failure is failing, you learn. You can do it again. You won't make the same mistake. I still make new mistakes. But throwing in the towel, that makes no sense to me.
Yeah, regret is so much worse than failure. I agree 100%. I mean, it's better to try and learn than not. Now, let me ask you this. As we're wrapping up here, you know, you're on top of tip saying ahead of the game when it comes to unpredictable world we're living in. With so much change and disruption, can anyone truly make their business or career future-proof?
Absolutely. Because it's a mindset of not staying the same. And for people that have listened this far, I have free workbooks. You go to my website, jsammet.com. It's all free. I'm not selling anything here, folks. I'm not trying to upsell you. Let me give you a trillion-dollar idea. Trillion. That I can guarantee will change everybody's life. If we go back 10 years ago, you now can't live without your smartphone, your iPhone, right? Can't imagine life without it. But the first year, you know what the top 10 apps were? I'll tell you two of them. A game with cats and a fart app that made 10 fart sounds. Think of all the businesses that have been launched off of that. Now, here's the trillion-dollar opportunity. Spatial reality, augmented reality, where we're going to have heads-up display all our waking hours. My clients, Microsoft, Google, Facebook, Apple, are all spending billions building the infrastructure, the 5G networks, the hardware, but they're not making the apps, the use cases. And I could give you thousands of things that are wide open, just like the beginning of smartphones. That phone's not coming out of your pocket anymore. You're not going to spend 5 hours a day looking at a little screen. You're going to have a world that is augmented with data. You go in a supermarket. Your doctor told you you have diabetes. Show me all the foods without sugar and everything else disappears. That's the world that's coming starting this December. Think of how many problems you can solve. You don't remember where you parked your car. You walk down the street and there's a blue line that takes you to it. Endless simple little apps that take very little. And if you're not an engineer listening to me, I'm not an engineer either. And every person listening to this show has written at least as much code as Steve Jobs, who built the first trillion-dollar tech company. Steve wasn't an engineer. Steve was an entrepreneur. You can hire programming. Every company is a tech company.
Dude, that's great. Jay, this has been so much fun. I'm learning so much. A lot of gems here today. How can everybody find you? I see that you spoke on a TEDx, and do you have a YouTube channel as well?
I don't do a lot with it. I put my speeches from various conferences up there. Yeah, I have a YouTube channel. You can find me on LinkedIn. You can find me on Facebook. You can find me anywhere. Especially find my books on Amazon. So Future Proofing You, really, I did this to make a difference. I want us to have a strong middle class. When you hear politicians talk about that they're job creators, that just means you're paying more taxes to hire more government employees. When you hear entrepreneurs talk about job creators, it means they're making your life better because they're solving a problem.
I love that you're giving back. I love that you're wanting to help entrepreneurs out, all the jobs, all the companies that have shut down with the pandemic. I think it's so cool that you're up there at the forefront trying to give back. Make sure you check out Jay's book. Make sure you go to jaysammet.com. You can see him there as well. He's got a YouTube, LinkedIn, all of the social medias. Check out the book. We appreciate you on the show, Jay. Thank you. Bam!
Thanks, Jason.
And that concludes another episode here on True Underdog. If you're interested in hearing more, make sure you subscribe at iHeartRadio, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or the YouTube channel. You can always visit trueunderdog.com, subscribe to all of them. Make sure you check out our newest episodes coming out on Mondays and Thursdays. True Underdog, baby.
Bam! Damn, True Underdog. Damn. Unleash the power.